You're listening to Four Seas, One Family, episode 93. Welcome to Four Seas, One Family, the podcast where expats, immigrants, and migrants can share and learn about life experiences abroad. I'm your host, James Thomas, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan, and I'm so glad to have you traveling along with me on this journey, and welcome to the show. This episode, we welcome Nicole Plazio. Now, Nicole is an American expat living in Europe who is also an active podcaster. Nicole points out that from her location abroad, it can sometimes be strange or even stressful for her to miss things from her home nation that she normally wouldn't pay much attention to while living in her home nation. Her comments bring out a point that living outside one's home nation can in many ways bring a person closer to the things he or she once overlooked or took for granted while living in their home nation. This is why some people who live outside their home nation look for or attempt to make a correlation between parts of other cultures that could be equivocated to elements or parts of their own culture. The truth is, most of the time, a cultural correlation may never be found. The only logical thing to do in this case is to learn how to accept an overseas experience from the viewpoint of the people and culture it originated from. So without any further ado, let's listen to this interview. How you doing, Nicole? Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I am doing so well. I'm sitting here in my pajamas. I've got a cup of coffee. I'm ready for this.
Well, you're a bubbling piece of popcorn. Hey, tell everybody where you're coming to us from.
I'm coming to you guys from Freiburg, Germany.
Oh, okay. Now, where's home now? Where's home now?
Home is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
You guys suck at baseball. You know that, right?
Oh yeah. We were good once, but I think that was more of an accident. But I got a day off of school for the parade, so I'll take it.
Yeah, well, I kind of miss your part of the world because we used to go down there and run the Penn relays, but we'll stay there for another episode. What brought you out to where out there in Germany? Well, how do you get out there, girl?
The simple answer is for love. So I was in a long-distance relationship with a guy living in Germany, and I... during that time, I was in a master's program. And when I wrapped that up, I thought, you know what? I have two very clear paths ahead of me right now. I can do the one that I thought I was going to be doing and work in libraries in the States, or I can take this chance to try something totally new, see if this relationship can work in a different country for me. And I decided to, yeah, take that leap. So I've been here about a year and a half now.
Well, after that special one took your heart away, I mean, would it come upon you to find out, where am I going to end up going? I mean, how much research did you do about going to Germany?
Not a ton.
Bad girl.
I'm one of those people, like professionally, I do a lot of research and I'm with a lot of, I don't know, I guess I want to say with like really important things, I do research, but I guess where you live in the world is kind of important. But for me, such emotional decisions, if I do too much research, I can fall into like a spiral, you know? So it was better for me to take more of a fly by the seat of your pants approach. So I mean, I'd visited Germany a couple times and I lived here for a summer before I made the move over. So I did have a taste. But in terms of really looking into, you know, how to do it, what the life's like, looking up different resources online, I didn't really.
Well, you sound daring. How did your family feel when you said, "Okay, hey, mom, I'm gonna go across the sea to somebody stole my heart"? How did that go across with your family and friends?
Not great.
Oh.
Yeah, that's probably the toughest part of this whole thing. I didn't know how to approach this whole topic. It was never a thing in my mind that I would have to tell everyone in my life that I was making this move. And I didn't know how to do it. And I did it wrong. I just sort of dropped it on my family one day out of nowhere. And so they were really blindsided by it. They didn't even know I was thinking about moving to Germany, let alone applying for jobs there. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it was, "Hey, I think I'm going to do this." So that's remains probably the biggest regret of my life, which is how I handled that situation so poorly. Oh. And I have amazing parents and amazing family and friends. And so they've been really forgiving and have been supportive in every way that they can be. But that's definitely, one of those things that I wish I could have done differently.
We'll just take a dive into this then. What would you have done differently as opposed to what you, well, handle the situation? What kind of things that you learned from your lesson that, you know, maybe someone is in the same situation as you are? What steps would you have taken to kind of make things a little bit more smoother?
So let me tell you first what my mindset and logic was for not telling anyone that I was really thinking of doing this at all. And that was, I thought, that's a long shot. I'm not going to find a job in Germany. I don't speak the language. I don't want to make everyone in my life go through the emotional process of taking this on and thinking that this is going to happen just to turn around and be like, actually, never mind. I'm staying in Chicago, where I was living at the time. So I thought it was more protective of them to just not. But what I really learned is it's better to just be honest the whole time. Mm-hmm. Of course, this seems obvious in retrospect, but what I would have done is just tell people when I started to seriously think about it and told people when I started to apply for jobs and brought them along in that process with me. Because as said, I know the people in my life are wonderful. I took the chance away from them to show me how great they are, you know? And I wish I had been more honest the whole way so that they could have, you know, given me advice if they'd wanted to, but also so that they could have their own time to process this new information.
Well, it sounds like you landed on your feet pretty firmly, and thank goodness to that. But you know, you're in a new country, new place, new language. How are you dealing with the locals there, and especially how are you dealing with the language differences?
Oh yeah, it's a journey. I had been learning German for long enough that when I moved here, I had what they call like the Grundstufe, which is, I guess, the foundation. And I thought, okay, great, I'm ready to go. But what I learned pretty quickly is with German, it takes a long time to really have your feet underneath you. So I think it took me really the first year I was living here to feel like, oh, okay, I actually do know enough to communicate with people. Because in Germany, they learn English from the age of like 8 or something. And they are very eager to switch to English if they notice anyone's foreign from any country, right? And so I had to work really hard to push up against that and say, no, I understand that you can speak way better English than me, but I'm here and I need to stay and keep speaking German. So once I started working at a job where I had to speak German every day, all day, that's really when I started feeling so much more confident about it. And that's exactly the opposite of what I expected. I thought that I was terrified to do this. I was like waiting for the people who hired me to be like, wait, you actually are terrible at this language. What are we doing? You can't do the job. You're fired, or, you know, something. Right, I don't know. Right. I don't know what I thought would happen, but I was convinced that this was some great mistake because I couldn't possibly be ready for this. But what ended up happening as soon as I started is I realized, hey, no, I can do this. And I'm not right all the time. And that's totally fine. And people are patient and people are kind and people are forgiving. And, you know, it's fine that I'm not perfect at this. So it's been, now it's going a lot better, but it took a while.
It's very good though. When you try, you know, when you are obvious, you know, a language is not your mother language and you make an effort, and people, you know, they will take a sense of pride in helping you getting along using their language because they can understand. And that's very good. And you took a very positive attitude. Are there any special types of steps you take to kind of get yourself more integrated into the local culture there?
What I'm doing now is trying to fill in my cultural blind spots, I guess, because mm-hmm. you think about it, in the wherever you grow up, you learn the culture and you don't even think about the fact that people are making references to things in TV shows and movies or in conversation. Mm-hmm. And I know what they're talking about because I grew up here and I know that Leave It to Beaver was a show in the 60s, or I don't actually know when it was from, but you know what I mean? You get the reference. And now that I'm really living here and in the language all day, I'm realizing there are a lot of references that I'm not picking up on. So I've gone around to various people and asked them for lists of TV shows, movies, books that are classic, mm-hmm. that everyone should know, that everyone should be able to reference. And that's been really fun because I'm starting with kids' books and I love reading kids' books and they're way easier on the whole language front, which is great. And in the process, I get to share that with people and then say to this person that I've known for, you know, a year and a half since living here and say, hey, I know this kid's story that you grew up with, and seeing them get so excited about that exchange is really beautiful and wonderful.
Yeah, that goes way beyond cultural appropriation. But anyway, that goes way. And that's a little bit more, touching and puts you more into contact with a person's, you know, real feelings, especially when you're trying to get more integrated into a culture that's not your own and not, you know, which you can call something that you're more familiar with anyway. But can you talk about any type of cultural type of references you picked up that will probably stay with you, you know, that you picked up from the locals for the rest of your life? I mean, there are any kind of festivals or any type of certain holidays or habits that it'll just tag on you forever?
I think there's so many. I mean, they have festivals here for everything. Each little village has their own celebration for whatever is important in that village. And I mean, there's no way to experience all of it, but I've slowly begun to experience some of it. And I think, really the big thing I've taken away is just having an excuse to celebrate is a wonderful thing. And coming together as a community is a wonderful thing. I really like here. Yeah. Like I've been to Oktoberfest. That's pretty great. But they have this holiday that's coming up called Fastnacht. Mm. And it's connected with like Mardi Gras and Carnival and all that. It's kind of the same thing, just their own version of it. And that's when the Germans let their freak out. And it's great. They are the most straightforward people the whole year, but Fastnacht, they put on weird costumes. They do like trick or treat style pranks. There's a parade where sometimes they just take people and run with them down the street. And I really love this carefree nature. And I think that's something I want to always celebrate.
Oh my goodness. Take that back home. This is the first time I heard somebody say, let your freak out. But thank you for teaching me that. I'll put that in my vocabulary book. But yes, just turn on another side. Maybe some people would call it the dark side, but let's talk about a little hard adjustments you've had to face while in Germany. Because, you know, there are some things that kind of like can hang you up about where you are, and especially in your part of the world and your life. Can you talk a little bit about some of the hard adjustments you had to make while in Germany?
Well, it's funny that you asked this just after talking about holidays, because that is such a, I guess if you want to call it like a trigger for me, where my homesickness really comes out around holidays that are not celebrated here. Mm. Like I'll never forget my first Halloween in Germany. I just broke out into tears because it didn't matter to anyone that it was Halloween. Oh. Nothing happened. It was just a normal day. And somehow that was deeply saddening to me, even though I've never been, I mean, I'm not the kind of person who waits all year for Halloween. Like I like it fine, but it's not my passion or something, but suddenly it was. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happened around Christmas. I was the biggest Scrooge in America because I just hate the materialism and consumerism and the wastefulness. And it just seems so fake to me. And I always was very grumpy about it. But here, being somewhere where my Christmas experience was a lot smaller, I was like, oh, I kind of wish people were wasting electricity to put lights out on their front lawn. I mean, I don't, but I do, you know? And I think that's something that's really weird to me is so many things that never mattered to me suddenly matter a whole lot to me. Someone just last night offered me a piece of candy corn that their family had shipped to them. And I hate candy corn. I think it's gross, but I ate like five of them because it was there and because it was home in some way. And so it's very confusing to reshape what my American identity is. You know, a year, 2 years ago, if you'd asked me, hey, do you want to go tailgating at a football game? I would have been like, nope. I don't at all. But now, oh my God, yeah, I would love that. So it's been weird. It feels like a sneak attack, you know, like I feel so prepared and thoughtful about my life. And I feel like I know myself very well. And then all of a sudden, something that never mattered to me matters so much. And you just can't be prepared for those kind of things.
Those little tiny things that you probably took for granted before, now all of a sudden becomes so invaluable. When you find yourself kind of like going off the rail a bit, what do you do to try to get yourself back on track to refocus, readjust, reset? What do you do where you are to get yourself ready to keep going on?
I turn to books and people. So I'm a huge reader and I always have been. And that's always been a great way to escape my reality in that moment and just sort of put my emotions on pause. I think reading really takes you somewhere else. And sometimes it's better for me personally to deal with the emotions when they've cooled down a bit. So if I'm really having a tough moment, I grab a book and I just escape for a couple hours. And then when I put the book down and it's time to think about the tough feelings again, I have a little bit more space and I'm a little bit more capable of addressing them better. And then I also, second step is turning to people. So either sometimes calling someone from back home and talking to them, but sometimes that's almost worse because it makes me miss them more. So then I'll turn to family, I'll turn to friends here in Germany, other expats, or not, other people whoever is willing to talk with me and listen and relate. You know, I think that's the huge thing I've learned about living abroad is we all have different experiences in life, but we have so many similarities in the struggles that we go through and talk. It's amazing what one good conversation can do to your energy. And I have the benefit of my first year here, I was working in an American cultural center where I could converse with all sorts of people every day. And that was really huge. And the connections I made with people there have continued on after I left that job, and I've been able to turn to these people and realize, okay, we're not the same. We don't have the same life story, but we can help each other.
Make the voice of your life abroad heard at 4Cs One Family by visiting our contact page at 4CsOneFamily.com/contact. Let it be known that we have a lot more in common than we think, because we are 4Cs One Family. There's so many comparisons people make when they go abroad. And sometimes it's not as optimistic, I know. Just try an experiment here. Just talk about a typical day you would go through as compared as the way you would go through a day back in your home nation. Just try to do a little storytelling to hear.
Ooh, good question or prompt. So the last place I lived in the States was in Chicago, which has a great public transit system. So my commute day in and day out is very similar. But here, I take the Straßenbahn, like the tram to work. It's like a streetcar back in the day. We don't really have those so much in America anymore, but they're still here. And even there, I start to notice the differences. Like Germans have a deep need to be waiting at the door at their stop, and they will elbow you out of the way so that they can be waiting at the door when the tram stops. And I always think, okay, can't we wait 5 seconds and then I'll stand out of your way and then you can walk by very comfortably when the train is not moving? But no, they have to elbow their way through. So I always, every morning, it's a little bit of like, oh, okay, we're doing this again. But somehow it's charming, and, you know, even your problems become familiar at some point and you can learn to love them too, I think. But the coolest part is, I think, of my commute, I get to work right next to the big church in town. It's this giant cathedral where there's a market that's been going on for centuries. And so my commute is walking through this market and watching the different vendors set up their stands and watching them banter with each other. Cause you start to realize like they've known each other for decades, you know, their families might go way back too. And that's a really beautiful moment in my mornings.
That's nice. That sounds, well, sounds like something out of a movie, you know, when you talk to
them.
Yeah, it does. You know, out of James Bond movie, you know, in the background, you know, through at the shopping mall, you know.
Could be. You know.
You know, when you meet locals there, they always, well, not always, but you get to know them on a certain personal level. They'll ask you questions about where you come from. Are there any particular type of stereotypes or perceived things that's come from the media or even the current situation that's happening back in our home country that you've, certain situations you may have to change their minds on or like I said, stereotypes you may need to crush?
God, yeah. Oh, well, the German relationship with America is so different today than it was in the past. So it depends on who I'm talking to as well. Older people, they or their parents were around for World War II and the end of it. And they know how important America was to helping different places get resources they needed to grow up. And so they're very forgiving of any weird or any things that we're doing today that they don't agree with. They have a deeper caring and understanding, and they're willing to say, you know, I'm sorry that this is happening. It sounds really tough right now, but I love America. Then you get to, so I'm 26, you get to my generation, and these people grew up, they don't really have anything to do with the I mean, they, of course, everyone has something to do with the past, right? But their experience of Germany and their experience of America is totally different.
Right.
And their experience of America over the last 30 years is a little bit much in a lot of their opinions. So they always are like, you know, they don't understand Trump at all. And of course, they often want to talk about that. They don't understand guns at all. It does not make sense to them that we still have guns when so many people die. And sometimes they're not even interested in hearing why. They just are like, well, that's dumb. You know, older people might want to talk to you and be like, why do you think that guns are so important to American culture? But a lot of younger people are just like, no, it's dumb. We don't understand why you haven't dealt with it. And then just the culture of excess, I think, really turns a lot of people off. And so there are a lot of those kind of things that people will confront me with. And I have to sort of be the cultural ambassador and say, you know, this is true or this is not true, or let's take a deeper look into why this is true rather than just having opinions on the end result, you know?
Right. How about the other way around when you go back home and, you know, people probably already think you're crazy for leaving home. Why are you leaving? We have everything here. But how about when you go back home and you talk to friends and family and they ask you questions about where you are? What kind of situations or stereotypes you find that you have to crush from people in your home nation?
I feel like Americans are very fascinated by World War II and are very focused on World War II. Oh. And their knowledge of Germany basically extends to World War II. And maybe like, oh, also there are castles there. Oh. So a lot of the times, I mean, that it's more of an educational aspect rather than working against certain stereotypes. But the one, the one time I went home, I went into a Wells Fargo bank. This was such a little like cultural moment for me because I thought, you know what? I don't want to go to the ATM. I want to speak to a person. So I went into the bank. I went and then they had a greeter and they were like, hi, welcome to Wells Fargo. How can we help you? And I was like, I'm going to go to the banker. What? It was weird. I get to the banker and he's like trying to sell me on some service. I'm like, I live in a different country. Like it's not worth it. No, thank you, but no. And he was like, oh, where do you live? Oh, Germany. Oh, my family is German. But they came over way before all that stuff with the Nazis. And it was such a weird moment of like, this is your only point of reference. And you feel the need to like distance yourself from your German heritage so deeply, you know? And so I just told him, I was like, well, you know, a lot of people in Germany alive today, we're related to people who were involved in the war. Right. Like that's how population works, right? That doesn't mean they emotionally have anything to do with it, but they might be the grandkids of Nazi soldiers. You don't know.
And
he just was shocked.
That's so and true. So
I don't know if I handled that situation super gracefully, but I sort of wanted to shock him in that moment because I felt like, something about his response was just very short-sighted. And I wanted to take a moment and be like, hey, let's think about our impression of Germany for a second and let's think about what year we're in.
Yeah, this is very interesting because you and I have a few things in common. You're also a podcaster, right?
I sure am.
what caused you or what triggered you to, you know, jump into the podcasting and talk about your experience?
It was really that first year that I lived here and I was working in that American Cultural Center and speaking to all these people from all over the world. And these encounters were so important to me. And like I said, that's so much of how I got through tough emotional moments. And I also found these people just fascinating and wanted their stories to have a space to go, that it could reach other people. But really, it comes back to this deep, dark fear I have of my boyfriend comes from a very rural area. Mm-hmm. And we thought about moving more to an area like that. And I couldn't find a job because my German wasn't good enough. So we ended up in a bigger city with more of a structure for internationals, which thank God, because my deep fear is what if we had moved to somewhere like that and I didn't have these people and I didn't have these resources and I didn't have those moments of someone telling me, hey, I've experienced that too and it gets better. If I didn't have that, I don't know how I would have gotten through that first year. So this whole podcast is more or less dedicated to like alternate reality Nicole, who's living in some village terrified of life, you know, and I just hope that it finds the right ears for other people who can relate and who can find resources that will help them.
I always say, you know, people have a lot more in common than they think. And it's so true. And I'm sure you have found out with the people that you had the wonderful time to, you know, chat with and stuff like that. But over, you know, while doing this podcast, tell me, what have you noticed that would be the hinge on and expat, immigrant, or migrant enjoying or learning or benefiting most from their experience?
I found that really an expat in Germany's experience of Germany hangs a lot on how good their German is and if they are dedicated to learning the language or not. And I think it's really taught me how important language is to culture, because talking to these different people, no matter how long they've been here, you can tell their commitment to this place depending on if they've really decided to learn the language or if they've just learned enough to get by.
Right.
And hearing different people's experiences as they go through the process of learning the language. And I think that's really key to understanding, you know, why they're having certain issues or why they feel certain ways about their experience. And I think that's just a really simple, quick, almost like a litmus test to see where they're at.
Wow. That's true. That is so true. This is a question that I always ask to every fine person that comes on the show here at Four Seas One Family. If you were a little magical, little butterfly, and you had the opportunity to speaking to a person who is personally going through some tribulations while living their expat life, or maybe not have, taken the plunge to step abroad. What kind of tips would you give them if you can just whisper in their ear?
I think I would tell them that the most important thing is to be able to speak honestly with yourself. I think that's something that I've learned to do through my expat experience. And I also think that's something that would be important for someone who's thinking about making a move like that. This whole thing for me is a giant exercise in learning how to communicate with myself deeper, because there are moments where I've ignored what I'm saying to myself and it's put me in a bad spot. You know, I've said, no, ignore this tiny voice in your head saying you need a break, push on, you know, and then I keep pushing and then at some point it becomes too much, right? Or sometimes I'm staying too comfortable and ignoring the voice that says, push yourself, right? And I think, there's so much more that goes into living anywhere and being a person in the world. But I think that's one thing that you should think about is if you are doing this, if you're thinking about this move, if you are moving, if you have moved, learn to speak with yourself and learn to communicate and learn when to trust yourself and, or learn to trust yourself and learn when to act on what your thoughts are. It's not easy, but it's important.
It's great talking to you, Nicole. And I really thank you for taking the time out of your day. Tell the listeners how they can find you.
Well, they can check out my podcast on Stitcher, on Apple Podcasts, wherever they listen to podcasts. It's called The Expat Cast. You'll recognize the logo is a little bike. And then if you want to find us on social media, Instagram is probably the best place to go to. But we do also have a Twitter, Facebook, and Pinterest. And all of those are at The Expat Cast.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot, Nicole. And I got a feeling I'll be talking to you later again in the future. Thanks a lot for stopping by Four Seas One Family.
Thank you for having me here. It was a lot of fun to talk to you.
And you take care. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tschüss.
Once again, thank Nicole for taking the time out of her day to join us here at Four Seas One Family. And please remember to take a listen to our podcast, The Expat Cast. Now, she's all over the place. She's on Facebook. She's on Instagram. She's on Pinterest. She's all over the place. It'll be hard not to find her. Now, if you're an expat, immigrant, or migrant and would like to share your story about your life outside your home nation, please drop us a note at comments@4seasonefamily.com or visit our contact page at 4seasonefamily.com/contacts. Now there you can even leave us a voice message via our SpeakPipe page. And if you're thinking about traveling or living overseas for educational or financial opportunities, cultural exchanges, or just to gain the experience to see how people in other cultures live, drop by the website 4seasonefamily.com. Drop us a question and I'll personally see how we can get you on the right path to learn more about a possible life abroad. And hey, if you haven't already done so, please drop by the Google Play Store or Apple App Store and download our podcast app. This would allow you to keep up with our current episodes and also allow you access to our special bonus content. Now, this app is free and we're looking forward to hearing from you. And once again, and above all, thank you for joining us here at Four Seas One Family. Remember that we have a lot more in common than we think. For Four Seas One Family, I'm James Thomas from Taipei, Taiwan. Take care and 再见.